Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
For better or worse, we live in a world where the news cycle runs 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year. It's on our phones, it's on our TVs, it's on our radios, our social medias. It is, I can go on and on. It's everywhere. We know that. News in the media is rarely positive, and it's difficult for many adults to face, let alone children. But since it's everywhere all the time, kids will at least have a sense of something going on, no matter what age they are. So as parents and as guardians, is it possible to keep them informed without instilling a sense of fear? Well, joining me now to give advice in this area is psychotherapist and author, Dr. Joanna Fortune. You are very welcome. Hello.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So firstly, is it just futile to try and shield kids and young teens from bad news, especially when the information is available, you know, on every single device in the house? Is that possible?
I don't think it's ever futile to try, but I think we need to be realistic about especially how long this current news cycle and world events are going on and the escalation pattern, the level, as you outlined there in the introduction, of media saturation. We need to be prepared for our efforts not to work. So I think we should try. And I think it really depends on ages. And I always speak about ages in the context of developmental age rather than chronological, because you and I could have a child the same age and they could cope with this kind of situation very differently. So always attuned to, what's my child going to cope with? Generally, I would say under seven, try to keep them away as much as you can from as much as you can, because developmentally, they do not have the capacity to make meaning, to understand, to process this kind of information.
Okay, that's really good advice.
As best you can.
So if you're in the car, maybe turn the news down, or if the news is on the TV,
I would
maybe
say,
switch
listen
over.
To some songs.
Yes,
you know,
for that age.
Absolutely. For that age group, get singing, get chatting. Well, I think as adults, like you said as well, like it's really hard for us as grown-ups. And it starts with us. So I have to check in and start with, how am I feeling with this? What's my level of understanding and overwhelm? Because that's the base from which I will be speaking to my child.
Yeah.
So if I feel completely overwhelmed, then I need to deal with this first and manage exposure for my child, because I just don't have it in me to bring them through something I'm struggling to understand myself.
Let's talk about the kids of the age who have a device. Because they're more likely to see stuff, obviously.
Well,
because
absolutely.
We can't control that.
The under sevens are one thing. But,
yeah,
you know,
they're easier
if
in
you're
a way.
Looking at the 8 to 12s, I would assume they know something. It may not be a lot. It may be very inaccurate. There could be lots of misinformation, because their sources could be internet-enabled devices that they have access to. You know, they might be in the same room as you, but with all the best, well, we all know that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. They'll still see things that we don't want them to. But equally, they will be likely to have more conversations with peers in school or outside of your home, where some of that group might know nuggets of information. I think you want to come at that with that age group with curiosity. Now, curiosity is not interrogation. We have to be very careful. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of things going on in the world at the moment? Have you heard any stories? Tell me the story of what you know, so that I can glean, okay, where is the knowledge base at? Mm-hmm. Sometimes what happens is, I think I need to address this with my child. I feel like I'm taking a deep breath and I'm just going to fill all the space with information they may not have asked for, may not be ready for. And instead, I'd be better off asking, what do you know? Tell me that, and listening. And what you're going to do is stick within what they know and clarify misinformation, reframe what they know, and try to direct them to images within what they've been exposed to of hope and people who are working for good, and the people who rush forward or walk forward to help. All of the support that's going on, international efforts. I think we want to, and again, that's not to minimize or dismiss what they're seeing, but to say, this is happening, it's terrible, it's really sad, and this is what everybody is doing to try to help. Don't flood them with information they're not ready for at that age. age, and I would still be working to minimize radios on, TV on, newspapers lying around, because they can read. Mm-hmm. They're going to pick up things. And those adult conversations we love to think we're having in private, when little ears tend to hover around. And in that, they don't pick up everything we're saying. They pick up a few words, little sound bites, a little iota of information, and they fill in the gaps themselves with imagination.
You're saying that. I'm thinking about my own daughter, Florence, who's 8, and she listens to everything. Well, she listens but only gets
exactly
50%. Let me ask you then, with that in mind, because you can't unsee something.
No.
Okay. So with that in mind, what can a parent do if their child has seen traumatic images, which are flooding social media
Absolutely.
At the moment? What do you do in that instance?
I think you have to take a really instant pause with it and acknowledge what's happened. You've seen something I wish you hadn't seen. I don't think you were ready to see that. That is a very scary image. And that is part of a big story. You've seen one image of a very big story. There is a war going on, and a war is a big event, and there's lots of fighting and lots of people get hurt. You've seen an image of somebody who has gotten hurt. I think you have to put that framing on it, because I need you to help me interweave that what I've seen with a story. Help me to make meaning of it, even as hard as that is and as unfathomable as so many of these images are. You've got to help me talk about it. Keep the line of communication open. Tell me the story you're telling yourself when you see that image. Where are you feeling it in your body? What's the name of that feeling? Depending on the age of your child, I might even bring it deeper into what color is the feeling you're holding? What shape is it? If it was an animal, what would it be? Help them to really talk about the feeling, because talking about feelings is very abstract and not easy for children to do. They lack emotional fluency to make sense of this. And then again, you are going back to, we're going to work hard that we don't have these images in our house. And any questions you have about what's happening, bring it to me and we will talk about it. And that in itself is quite challenging. So with children, again, we're talking about the under 12s here, but with children, I like to take something around play with this, because we can underestimate the very powerful tool play is when we're exposed to things that are very difficult to make sense of. Play is the language of children. It helps them to process difficult experiences, to make meaning. So I like to role play being in a news, in a setting like this, and I make my child the interviewer, and I'm the expert witness brought in. And so they get to ask me all of their questions. I get to reframe and structure the answers in the way that I really want to for them.
Good idea.
We're doing it in the guise of play, which gives that little bit of remove, and I'm able to process it in a deeper way. So taking creative approaches, which isn't to minimize or make light of a situation, it's to use the language of children to help them understand it.
Do you think parents and guardians have a responsibility to stay informed themselves so they can answer the questions that they might be asked by a child?
I do, but I want to...
we got to mind ourselves as
that's
well.
That's exactly it. I want to caveat that. I mean, I think we do need to be informed, but we don't need to be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And from my own point of view, I really try to manage how much social media imagery I'm exposing myself to during a time like this, because it is endless and I can feel myself getting overwhelmed and feeling powerless and there's nothing I can do, and I'm just watching this unfold like an unwilling witness. I don't want it to be happening, but nothing is changing. And so I can feel my own panic and anxiety rise in that. I know I need to take a break. I need to stop. I need to walk away. I need to change my field of vision. One of the best tools any of us have, be we children or teenagers or adults, is to reset a busy, overwhelmed brain, change your field of vision. The quickest way to do that is to look away from your screen and look out a window. You're literally changing what you're looking at. Better again, get outdoors and feel that environmental shift. Take a hot drink with you. Stand outside, feel the warmth, smell what you're drinking, taste it, and just breathe in that. That could take you 2 to 3 minutes. That's it. And you will have given your nervous system a real gift in that moment. And I think we need to be taking regular compassion pauses, checking in with how are we thinking, what's the words running around in our head, where are we at emotionally, and where am I holding that in my body? If we can do that for ourselves, we can model it with our children.
We certainly can. I would have concerns. I would be more concerned about parents who have teenagers.
Yes.
Because there's a... they have their devices all the time, sometimes even in school. You know, sometimes they need it for school or they bring their phones into school. So it's harder to manage those conversations, I think, with teenagers. Any advice for those parents?
Well, with teenagers, there's no might they have seen something. You know they have.
They've seen it. Yeah.
Okay, so that is a conversation you need to bring to them. They may not bring it to you.
Mm.
They may not know how to say, oh my gosh, look at what's happening in the world. I'm overwhelmed. So you have to go to them and say, I don't know about you, but I'm overwhelmed with what I'm seeing. And I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love to sit together and have a think about it. How are you dealing with it? What are your thoughts? Try to get them to connect with you. Remind them they can always bring it, because just because we know our teenagers are aware and are seeing information and footage, do not assume it's all accurate. Do not assume there isn't a whole lot of misinformation depending on the platforms they're using, who they're following, the narratives they're immersed in. So your voice is still really, really important there. And I think it's really important that we give ourselves permission to pause difficult conversations. I could be in the middle of this. I work with teenagers. Mm-hmm. So I'm having a lot of these conversations with them. They feel very despondent, overwhelmed, different levels of that. And they want to talk, and largely because they think, well, you're going to listen to me. I'm going to talk to you about it. And I will say, I can see in you that you're getting overwhelmed with this. We're going to hit the pause button. We're going to talk about something else, and we will return to this. Try it at home as well and say, I think we've had enough of this for now. It's really important and we will come back to it. Now, in that pause, you don't kind of go, you do your thing, I'll do mine, because you're leaving me alone with the overwhelm and the aftermath. Let's make a hot drink. Let's sit and watch an episode of your favorite show. And I don't care what it is. I don't care what they want to watch. This is not your moment to ridicule reality TV and say, oh, this is rubbish. Why would you watch it? Sit with them, pull a blanket over the two of you, and just use your presence to regulate them, to calm them. Too often we say to each other, even calm down, when the truth is we don't calm ourselves down.
Oh, it's the worst thing you can hear.
We're calmed through somebody else.
Yeah, that's
so
very true.
Be their calm in those moments.
Finally, do you think there could be an opportunity, especially with the older children, to encourage them in some way that they can make a difference in the world?
Yeah, I always think there's an opportunity for that. And I think it's really important because teenagers are really motivated by that. Like, they do believe, you know, or we want them to believe that I can make a difference. I can get out there and contribute. For some teenagers, that's going to be going on a march of some kind because it helps them to feel a part of something and they're taking action. For others, it's going to be writing letters, emails, meeting with political representatives. For others, it's going to be sitting with you and doing a deep dive into world history and understanding conflict as a concept and just having those deeper conversations, even if it seems a bit abstract. That's very helpful for me to understand how does this emerge, because right now our teenagers are exposed to a lot of world fighting, world war, be it Russia, Ukraine, be it Israel, Palestine. There's a whole lot going on at the same time, and it is too much. We all acknowledge that. So I think encouraging them to say, how do you wish the world could be? And I, again, using a bit of playful imagination, imagine you were president of the whole world. What five things would you implement? What order and what difference would they make? Get them to think. There's no limits on this. Just imagine. What if? What if? Bring them into, if they're going, that's ridiculous, it's not real, just say, sure it is, but let's be ridiculous for a little while. What if? And get them into that realm of imagination and solution-focused thinking and picturing a difference. That is such a help for them.
Lastly, definitely last one. Inevitably, it starts with us, doesn't it?
Of course.
And managing ourselves when it comes to social media and the consumption of the bad news. I think if we can manage ourselves and look after ourselves, then and only then we'll be able to look after other people in our lives, right?
Yes.
Friends and family as well. We all got to take care of each other.
Totally agree.
There's a lot to think about there, but some great advice. I'd love to hear from you guys on this. How are you finding it? Have you had to have those difficult conversations, and how did it go, and how did you do it? You can get in touch with the show on 51552.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.